Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 16. What if you were a blood sorcerer?
I was born in 1962. I was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut. My grandfather was an intelligence officer in the Polish Army. And when my father was 10 years old in 1939. So when World War II occurred, the family was split up. My grandmother and all her children were marched to Siberia. And my grandfather, because there's no coincidence, he escaped. And was captured by the Germans, was tortured for information, escaped, so obviously he's a killer. You don't escape the Germans without killing people, so he's a killer. All my aunts and uncles died except for my father. They either died of starvation, disease, or were shot. And there was barely enough to go around as it was, even for the soldiers. So when the food got scarce, they nearly took people out and just shot them. One day, my grandmother was in line to when they were choosing, and this is after all of her children, except for my father, who died, and they chose her out of the line. And my father had become kind of friendly with one of the guards, so they're marching her away, and he grabbed onto the bootstrap of the soldier and cried and was like, "You're taking my, you know, the only thing I have left. My brothers and sisters are dead. You're taking her, and she's the only thing I have left." Well, he took a little bit of mercy on her, put her back in line. Then he pointed to the girl next door to my grandmother, who was a 20-year-old girl, beautiful girl, and said, "You're coming instead." And my grandmother told me the story with tears in her eyes and a thousand-yard stare. And she said, "I've never seen a look in the eyes of a person like that." She said she hated me, but there was sympathy and empathy at the same time. She understood. She knew what the math was. She knew that somebody had to go. She knew that the soldier had mercy on me because I had a child and he was the only one left, but I'm dying because of you. When she told me that, I was about 6 or 8 years old, and it changed my life, first of all. Then she told me something else. When she was Catholic, apparently, I mean, on the outside at least, we were going into the Catholic Church in Edinburgh. My parents would send me over there for the summers. So I'd spend like 2 months in Scotland. We were walking into this imposing Catholic Church. This is the real dirt, the salt of the earth, Catholicism, all the Polish. This is Eastern European brought to Edinburgh. And here I am, a kid that's brought up on breakfast cereal on Saturday mornings and cartoons and stuff like that, and all of a sudden ending up in this third world country where everything is old, 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 and moldy and dark and smelly. And I loved it. It was just like heaven to me. I spent my days playing in abandoned train tunnels and spidery places and cobwebs and dark and with kids that were born with no arms. And like, it's a bizarre place for an American kid, but I just ate it up. My grandmother says to me, she goes, "First of all, when we listen to the priest," she goes, "don't believe everything that you hear, because I have more stuff that I need to tell you before you become a Catholic." She goes, "but we're a little bit different. We belong to the followers of the five wounds. And there's something special in store for you. We've been waiting for you to come along for a long time." And I'm like, "what the fuck is she talking about?" I thought she meant, like, I was 6 years old and I hadn't been to Scotland yet because my father died. And, you know, like, when I got there, like, there was a whole cadre of people that were just very serious looking. And I got off the plane and there was, like, 20 people there, and they took 5 cars. And I have never experienced anything like this. My grandmother and my aunt, I called her Chuchi, we used to collect the dead animals and boil the flesh off their bones. And glued like the bones to stands and like keep the bones around the house and stuff like that. I had no idea what they were doing. They were talismans. They were making talismans, and that's all they did. They sold them, and that's one of the ways they supported themselves. In the meantime, my grandmother was telling me, "You're special. You're the one. We've been waiting for you. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell your brother until he's ready to hear." And I had no idea what the hell they're talking about. My father died as a result of a rheumatic fever that he contracted in a concentration camp. The reason why he lived as long as he did was to produce me. He would have died 5 years earlier. He was so weak, and his blood his heart was so weak that he couldn't have sex. He had to force himself to have sex with my mother to get her pregnant. My grandmother told me that he was instructed to do this. He had to, because my brother was a failure and my sister was a failure, and they needed to try one more time, and they had me. I was reading adult stuff when I was 6 years old. I have a photographic memory. I could remember almost back to when my father, I could almost remember my father's voice. I mean, he died when I was 6 months old. I have synesthesia. All of this stuff I thought were hindrances to me growing up in Western society. The teachers, I had trouble with the teachers because at 6 years old, I was quoting Dostoevsky, and they were like trying to give me a Dick and Jane books. They didn't have advanced placement, and they would have had to put me in college at 6 years old. I was studying sorcery, I was studying Carlos Castaneda, I was reading Aleister Crowley and emulating him, I was reading Da Vinci, I was reading Sir Isaac Newton, I was reading Einstein. Then, when I was like 10 years old, they stopped sending me to Scotland, and I lost the connection with my grandmother. Let's just skip through high school. Drugs, bad friends, I was a troublemaker, I was violent, I was bullied, and I was violent at the same time. I had difficulties with my gender identification right from the bat. I mean, I thought I was a girl. I mean, I dressed up in my sister's clothes all the time, I was punished for it all the time, I was made fun of it by schoolmates, anybody that found out. I've been in the restaurant business for over 30 years. I progressed up to the point where I was the GM of a restaurant that was part of a $500 million company in New York City. And they just got bought out by a billionaire, so now they're multi-billion dollar. They're connected to the W Hotel chain. From dishwasher to the top of the industry. It took me 30 years. I learned everything about hospitality and how to treat people nice, and it dovetails perfectly into what I'm doing now, because what we do is help people. That's all we do, is we're here to help people. Last August, I had a vortex incident, and what that is it's a type of insanity where you reach a moment of clarity where you think you're on a different level, and you think you're insane because you start thinking in terms of, I feel like Jesus, I feel like a Messiah. All of a sudden, all this knowledge started flooding into my brain. Last August, I started having this weird feeling that, I was unemployed. My sommelier business wasn't going that well. My wife had just left me a couple of months before. I couldn't pay the rent. I was behind on the rent, and I was at the mercy of the universe. I was at the mercy of my landlord. I was afraid of everybody. I wouldn't leave my house. I stayed at my computer on Craigslist trying to get jobs. Nobody would give me a job. And I am very, very skilled and eloquent, and I'm a good-looking guy, and there's no reason somebody wouldn't hire me, but the universe was keeping me away from a job because it knew that I had to sit there and get to the lowest point that I could possibly get to go into a vortex mode. And what a vortex mode is this. I started feeling like I was collapsing in upon myself, like a star that's dying, you know. It explodes once, and then everything comes together, and it kind of forms a black hole if it's big enough. That's what I felt like. I felt like everything collapsed in upon myself, and then I started having this recurring dream every night for about 3 weeks, that all of a sudden I was an infinitesimal point in a universe without space. I was an infinitesimal point, so I didn't really exist. I can't use words to adequately describe the dream. At that point, I kind of like underwent a supernova explosion, and all the things that the world had built into me just were cast off. Then, in the midst of this loneliness, this unbelievable, undescribable ultimate, something came to me and kind of like touched me on my metaphorical shoulder and said, it's going to be okay. I'm going to show you how to do this. And took one of the shattered pieces and helped guide it back to my essence and put it into the proper place. And I said, listen, I'm going to leave you now. You know how to do it. And so I went about the task for the next week of dreaming of grabbing all these millions and billions of pieces of shards of me that were all misplaced, and I put them back together in the correct order. And I was no longer spherical nor cubical in shape, because that's the way the world made me. My parents, my teachers, my spiritual guides, my girlfriends, my peers, advertising, all that was gone. And now I was free to create myself as myself. And I felt like, what just happened? Like, I woke up and I was just like, wait a second, I feel whole again. I said, I don't have a job, I don't have any money, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a wife, I don't have a competition, I don't have money, but I don't care either. I didn't have a worry. I lost all that shit, but I lost the worry at the same time. An outside force was acting on me. I'm not pretty sure it was my pop. My father or all of my ancestors or the universe. Maybe the sorceress, I don't know. Pretty sure it was my pop. It had to be, because he did that stuff too, so. When I went to visit my father's grave, and there's a thing of necromancy where you have to sleep amongst the dead, and I'm lucky enough to live within 5 miles of my father's grave. I was so afraid. I slept in cemeteries all my life, but not with the knowledge that I have now. And that was the last thing that I was afraid of, was actually sleeping with him. Now, my father's cemetery is gated off by iron gates. Iron, which is one of the three legs of the tripod of sorcery. And I noticed that the iron gate was open, and they've never left it open at night. So I was like, okay, that's a sign. The pop is telling me he's ready for me to come in now. So I walked in with my dog, and I was all of a sudden overcome with fear. And I haven't felt fear like that. It was a visceral. I felt it in my spine. I felt it in my toenails. I felt every molecule of my being was afraid. And I heard a hellish shriek that sounded like a cat fight from Hades. You know, it's like it was something that I can't put into words. I didn't hear it with my ears. It was like I heard it with my eyes almost. It was almost visual because I see sounds. And it looked very jagged and very bright and very, not angry, but energetic. So anyway, I'm in the cemetery. I'm outside the cemetery. The iron gate is open. I go in. This is about 11 o'clock at night. This is like last week. So I went to his grave and I just sat there and I was like asking him questions like, you know, Papa, what do I do next? Papa, what do I do next? You know, what's going to happen? So I fell asleep. I woke up 2.5 hours later, about 5 miles away, with a cop asking me for my license and registration. And there was nothing in between there. I fell asleep. I don't remember any dreams or anything. And then I woke up in my car with a cop asking me for my license and registration. I got arrested because my license was suspended. I spent 2 days in jail, but nothing of, oh, woe is me, I'm sitting in jail, blah, blah, blah. I only thought about sorcery the whole time. There's a lot of unique things about me. The fact that I'm descended from both the Order of the Dragon from Hungary and the Habsburgs from the European aristocracy. That's a perfect blend for sorcery because they were both sorcery families, big sorcery families. I was born transgendered. I'm not transgendered anymore. And I'm probably the only person that I know of that was born transgendered but has lost it. Transgender is a very, very important trait of sorcery. Synesthesia. My ability to connect dots that nobody would ever connect. The fact that I never studied physics, mathematics, or philosophy, but I came to a perfect understanding of all three within about 10 seconds, it tells me that it was channeled to me. Everything that I want to learn, there's no learning process. The answer comes to me because of my connection with the universe. The universe is channeling through me, and it sounds a little crazy and grandiose and stuff like that, but it's just... Have you ever read a Confederacy of Dunces? It says, when a true genius appears in the world, the dunces will be in confederacy against him. That's what's happening to me right now. My sister's trying to get me committed. Everybody around me that I consider a dunce is trying to fucking get in my way, and it's like demons, but it's not. It's just the world. When you say you're a sorcerer and you can't hide it, you have to say you are. People are going to get in your way, and they're going to try to stop you. The first age of humanity started with the first artist that did a cave painting. Think about what went into that cave painting, the first one ever. It was such an abstract leap of inspiration. What art is nothing more than graffiti. It's just saying, here I am. Doesn't matter if you scratch your name in a tree, you know, JS plus FU. Doesn't matter, it's all graffiti. It's leading your communication across time. So I'm a graffiti artist. That's all I'm doing. That's what I'm doing right now is I'm spray painting the wall of your brain, of your mind, of the universe with my graffiti. I'm spraying like a cat sprays to mark their territory. It's not altruistic. It's selfish. The Second Age of Man began with a man named Augustine of Hippo in 450 AD. And he's the first person that started writing in the first person about the true emotions that were going on inside of him. The Third Age of Mankind began with Madame Curie discovering the nature of the atom. If it wasn't for Madame Curie, Einstein would not have come up with the answer to life, universe, and everything, which is E equals MC2. Energy equals the life force of the universe. The equal sign symbolizes the harmony and the balance. M is mass, that's the corporeal, that's what we can see and feel right now. C is the speed of light, it represents the speed limits and the fact that we're not limitless. And the square, that's the number two, represents the duality of the universe, what's inside the quantum level and the astronomical. And she gave her life and her husband gave his life, and happily, and they were like, we just changed the world. It was them that created the third age. The fourth age will begin when my work is done and we finally leave the planet and settle on another planet. The only way that we can do that is by becoming a tribe again, when everybody becomes important again, when there's no hate crimes because one person thinks another person doesn't deserve to live because they're gay or Muslim or Christian or Jewish or has a funny spot on their face or the skin of their color of their skin is darker or lighter than each other. When we can turn the entire human race back into that tribal mindset of everybody is important, and if one chink in the chain fails, then we all fail. Almost every human being, except for the ones that understand what's going on, is going to despise me, because what I'm going to do is create the ultimate form of communism. There's basically going to be artists, and then the rest of us who are going to be operating the mechanism of the human race. If you understand the tribal mindset, the only real emotion that counts, and the only one you have to conquer, is fear, because that was the original survival emotion. Everything else came as a result of property ownership. Jealousy, avarice, greed, every negative emotion, hate towards people who aren't like you, all comes from the concept of property ownership and nationalism as a result of that. The only emotion that you have to conquer is fear. Once you conquer fear, you've conquered all of your emotions. The fifth age, all human beings, every single person becomes a sorcerer and realize that we don't need to keep reproducing because there's a limit to everything. We cannot keep reproducing. The universe is finite. So when all human beings become sorcerers and decide we don't have to have children anymore, we're done. And then when they die, and the universe is only filled with energetic beings, disincarnate humans, that's when we come together and restart the cycle. And by doing so, we become God. Everything that I just told you, I figured out in the last 5 days, since that cemetery night. It's ineffable. There's no words to describe it. The whole point of sorcery is to bring the things that you want to yourself. What I want is to save humanity and create the next universe. It sounds crazy, but I'm going to do it.